First, a love story, since this is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day gets its name from St. Valentinus, a 3rd century priest who lived during the reign of Emperor Claudius. And during this time, Rome was involved in some very unpopular and bloody wars. And the emperor had a difficult time recruiting men to serve in his armed forces. And he realized that this was because they were afraid to leave their families, their wives and children, fearing that they would not return. So the emperor created a law forbidding marriage and engagements. Strange, isn't it? Well, St. Valentinus, a priest, defied the emperor and secretly married young men and women. The emperor discovered his acts. He was thrown into prison. And Valentine, during his imprisonment, fell in love with the jailer's daughter. And right before his execution, wrote her a letter expressing his love for her and signing it, "Your Valentine." To this day, that expression, "Your Valentine," remains a popular use when we write our Valentines to our loved ones. This was a time of testing for a Christian martyr. And we move from this time of testing into another story of testing, that of Jesus testing in the wilderness. It might be interesting to note that in the Old Testament, or the Hebrew Scriptures, Satan is not seen as an adversary or an enemy of God. Satan is actually an advocate angel of God who does God's bidding and tests those that God chooses as a way of proving to God whether or not they are truly devoted to God. So when in the story of Job is tested, he is tested not by Satan. He is tested by God. It is God who inflicts all manner of pain and torture upon Job to prove whether or not Job is truly devoted to God. Jumping to the New Testament, we discover that Satan is no longer an advocate angel of God. He is, in fact, an adversary of God. In the gospel, Satan, or the devil, is the enemy of God. However, his role is very similar to the Satan of the Old Testament, the advocate angel of God, who tests Job. For the Holy Spirit in the New Testament leads Jesus into the wilderness to be tempted and tested by Satan. In Jewish culture, numbers often signify important things. Whenever the number 40 is mentioned in the Bible, it signifies an important time of preparation and testing, which strengthens one for the task of serving God, allowing one to know his or her ability to endure all manner of hardship and suffering for the sake of God. Noah and his family endure 40 days and nights in the flood, in preparation for the new covenant God would make with all creation. Jonah spends 40 days and nights in the belly of a big fish in preparation for his ministry to the people of Samaria. Israel wanders 40 years in the wilderness in preparation for the new land God would prepare them for. And Jesus was tempted by Satan 40 days in the wilderness in preparation for his ministry. We are told that he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. This may first seem odd, because we recall the words of the prayer Jesus taught us and prayerfully wonder, God, what part of lead us not into temptation did you not understand? But when we pray for God to lead us not into temptation, the request is not for God to prevent us from being tempted, but rather to prevent us from giving in to our temptations, placing ourselves or Satan above God. Satan, by the way, symbolizes the evil in us all, not an external force to whom we may point the finger of blame, but rather an evil conscience that knows us intimately and is as much a part of us as the good we do. It is the knowledge of both our divine and devilish capacities that encompasses our ability and freedom to choose God and resist evil. It is this knowledge that inseparably ties us to both the most saintly and sinister characteristics of our human nature. Contrary to traditional beliefs, Satan may well have been that evil conscience in Christ that he had to overcome if he were to truly serve God. We are all related to and responsible for one another, whether we like it or not. And the good we may achieve individually, as a church, as a society, or as a species, is only possible by the evil we learn to understand, prepare for, and ultimately control. Robert Browning said that temptation comes to us for to meet and master and make pedestaled beneath us in triumph. Now that's what Robert Browning says regarding temptation. But we tend to follow more the words of Mae West, who says, I generally avoid temptation unless I can't resist it. Temptations are temptations because they appeal more to our desires than our fears. A female friend of mine, who is also a minister, informed me that several years back, after shedding several pounds for Lent, she decided to celebrate by shopping for a new dress. She found the dress she wanted and tried it on. It looked fabulous on her, she said. But then she noticed the price tag and realized it was way beyond her budget. It was then she said she definitely heard the voice of Satan saying, you look marvelous. She turned to her tempter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. To which she heard the voice say, you look just as good from the rear. She bought the dress and counted it as gain during the season of Lent. Now, while my friend was intentionally making light of the time of testing and temptation that bears greater significance and consequences than one experiences in dieting or purchasing clothes, the process is somewhat simple. For in losing that which we may need to relinquish, we also gain so much more. The fact is that we as Christians are just as easily led by the Spirit to encounters with temptation. But we are unfortunately led into temptation against the will of the Spirit. Temptations are not clear-cut decisions between hot and cold, but more often cover lukewarm temperatures where one has to decide between the lesser of two evils or the greater of two goods. You've heard commercials about medications that treat depression, drowsiness, rheumatoid arthritis, and other physical conditions that you may desperately seek to remedy. But when the promotional dialogue fades, and you're watching this idyllic scene of happy campers, suddenly you hear the fine print, soft-spoken narrative about the harmful side effects and consequences these drugs may cause. And you wonder if it's worth it. Now, certainly the drug company wants to convince you that it is worth it, but the decision is yours. You have to decide. Temptation can be good or evil, and both God and Satan are involved in the business of temptations. The reason something is tempting is that it possesses both attractive and harmful qualities, to which we determine if the good outweighs the bad, and therefore whether or not the risk is worth it. However, the difference between temptations of Satan and temptations of God is that satanic temptations are motivated solely by selfish gain over the common good, while godly temptations compel you to realize that personal gain can never be separated from the common good. The Apostle Paul confirms that if one member suffers, all suffer together with it. And if one member is honored, all are honored together with it. Satan promises us the world if we bow down and worship him. But Jesus, probably reflecting upon his encounter with Satan, later on says, "What does it profit to gain the whole world and lose your soul?" During the financial crisis of 2008, I was fascinated by the number of people who willfully sacrificed lucrative careers as investment bankers and Wall Street lawyers to pursue careers in ministry. The ones with whom I spoke informed me that their motivation for selfish gain led them into pits of ethical despair and dilemma, moral crisis and lost identity, causing them to wonder, what does it profit to gain the whole world and lose your soul? Sisters and brothers, during this season of Lent, we are called to self-examination, to acknowledge our sins, but also to notice that God has placed upon us the divine apparel of kinship with God and kinship with Christ. And like my friend, we too must weigh the enormous cost of this garment and determine if it fits us so fabulously that even Satan must reluctantly confess, "You look marvelous."